I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Susanna Davis is Vermont's first executive director of racial equity. Part of her job is to deliver a report to the General Assembly each year on Vermont's progress, or lack thereof, in identifying and addressing systemic racial bias within state government. Her report from last year was delivered to lawmakers earlier this month. My co-host, Michaela Frack, asked her this morning about what Vermonters should take away from the report.
I mean, I suppose the biggest takeaway is that advancing equity in all of its forms is urgent work, and yet paradoxically, it is also slow work, because undoing complex systems or changing and updating complex systems takes a lot of time. It takes thoughtfulness, it takes intentionality, and it takes courage. And when you have multi-branch government, when you have a complex society, not everybody possesses all of those qualities. So I suppose the short story is we're working on it. And the we in we are working on it needs to continue to expand to include everybody, because everyone does play a role in advancing equity.
There's a line in the report that reads, "Some parts of state government remain committed to upholding the status quo at the expense of greater inclusion." And it seems like that line kind of speaks to what you were just saying, that there are some maybe key players here that aren't committed to this mission and vision yet. But can you elaborate a little on that?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, we have made a lot of progress, I think, in state government on equity. Between me and my staff, we have been to, I think, nearly every single agency, department, or unit for educational purposes, for policy review. We sit on hiring panels in so many different departments. I mean, we really try to have a very broad role as consultants, as supporters, as researchers, as educators, et cetera. And so because of that, we've made the rounds a lot, and we have interacted with people whose reception to our work ranges from being extremely on board, passionate and proactive. And we have a lot of those. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have some folks who genuinely believe that equity is not a problem in Vermont, that the work to advance it is more trouble than they think it's worth, or that this doesn't concern them or their agencies somehow, which is, of course, incorrect, because we know that inequity shows up in nearly every facet of life and governance.
Another section of this report takes a look at pay equity in state government. If certain groups are making more money on average than other groups, I'm wondering what your data has found so far about Vermont when it comes to pay equity in state government.
Yeah, so pay parity is it's a big challenge. It's something that our office is going to look more closely at this year as planned. Not because it's certainly a surprise. This is something we had planned to work on this year, pay parity across state government. Now, I came from a different jurisdiction, and so the civil service title structure was a little bit different, but it's a similar concept, right? You have a fixed title, and you try to find positions that fit within that title based on the nature of their duties, and then you have a pay scale that is supposed to come with. But we find that when it comes to women, when it comes to people of color, when it comes to people who may not have gone to prestigious schools or what have you, the same work or the same type of work often is compensated very differently depending on the identity of the person. So one thing that we find is that there are disparities within the same pay grades or within the same job titles based on who's in the role or who did the hiring or when they did the hiring. Another thing that we note is that the gap between pay between staff of color, state staff of color, and state staff who are white still is disparate. So people of color in state service on average are still paid less than white employees who are in state service. We also do note in the report that some of this may be accounted for by the fact that the population of people of color in Vermont is younger overall, and that is true also in state service. And so therefore, there may be match up there with the percentage of people of color in state service who are represented in entry-level positions compared to the percentage of people of color in state service who are represented in longer tenure or managerial or supervisory roles. So we do acknowledge that that may play a small role in it. But overall, if you look at the year-over-year trends, this has been a consistent pattern that people of color are paid statistically less than white-identified staff members in state service.
Susana, I'm also curious to hear more about this one section of the report on working groups, which I'm guessing many folks who work in offices might be familiar with. This concept of, you know, identifying a problem and having somebody at the office say, oh, let's create a working group on it. And there's not always clear takeaways from what that working group accomplishes. And that's something that you point out in this report, that there's a growing number of working groups in state government focused on issues of racial equity, of criminal justice, and more. But that number might be growing a little bit too quickly.
One of the things that we like to caution people about is they want to do the work, but they mistake what the work actually is for what they would like the work to be. So it is often the case that people think that going to a 90-minute training or sitting on a work group or doing a book club is doing justice work. And it is certainly a component of it, but in and of itself, none of those activities is going to move the needle in a way that is really, really going to be impactful. And so one of the things that we like to caution people about is that if you're going to create a group, what is that group's purpose? What is its function? What is the goal that it's looking to reach? Is there someone else already doing that work? Are we going to be duplicating efforts? Can we combine efforts? And so those are some of the considerations that I think sometimes are not made or are not asked or are not thought of, because a lot of times people think that the creation of a group itself is an achievement. I don't want people to fall into that pattern. I think also there's a lot of enthusiasm around justice and equity, and that's a wonderful thing. And sometimes that enthusiasm leads us to create a lot of parallel efforts happening simultaneously, because we sometimes equate a crowded field with an effective field. So I think I would say that, you know, creating dozens of working groups to address equity, many of which have a lot of overlap, it feels a little bit like expecting me to eat faster because you've given me three forks. And sometimes that's not as effective as focusing our efforts into fewer but more effective and well-resourced working groups.
Susana, if you could leave people with one key message from this report, what would it be?
When you're doing any kind of equity or justice work, not even related just to race, but any other forms of equity, it is very easy for us to fall into a pattern of just identifying what's not working. And we try to be very intentional about saying, listen, we're also successful in other ways. We're finding good practices, and we are hopeful. And so I always like to make sure that people understand that, yes, we've got to be able to highlight our shortcomings in order to be able to address them. And also, we're allowed to celebrate this work. We're allowed to find pleasure in successful efforts, and we're allowed to have joy. You know, that comes through things like community events. It comes through things like celebrations of culture and heritage, right? And it comes through things like saying, hey, you know what? We did well on this. We tried hard on this. And I think that it has to be that multifaceted approach. And so as anyone reads this report or any of our other reports, it's just important that we do acknowledge not just what's not working, but also what is working. And that can serve as a model, not just for other parts of Vermont, but also for other jurisdictions around the country who may not be as far along as we are in some of this work.
Well, lastly, Susana, before I let you go, I am wondering if you might be able to share some thoughts on what we're going to be talking about later on in the show when we hear from a couple of student athletes from Middlebury Union High School and their decision not to attend a basketball game against the Enosburg High School due to what The Middlebury team has called three separate incidents of racist attacks from Enosburg spectators. And since you're leading these efforts in Vermont to address racial equity, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on this incident.
So my thoughts are going to be a little bit more broad, because I think that this is touching on an important issue about the similarities, differences, and overlaps between different levels of government. So yes, we're at the state level trying to lead statewide efforts, and state level and statewide are really two connected but different things. What's really important about cases like these is that there is such an important role that local government and local communities play. It is often the case that people will look to the state or to the federal government and say, you've got to do something about this. And really what we're looking to do is to help communities feel empowered enough to also step in and participate in these kinds of efforts. So when I hear about particular schools or particular teams or towns or supervisory unions who are making strides on this topic, it's extremely important, because so much of what we know about disparity in the United States manifests at the local level. And so what that means is we've got to be able to find solutions at the local level as well. I do see that there is a statewide lens to it. However, because every community is unique, we have to be able to listen to impacted people and have them participate in finding the solutions that are going to work for them, and also for the prospective members of our communities who aren't here yet, but who in the future are going to benefit from what we do today.
That was my co-host, Michaela LaFrague, talking to Susanna Davis, the state's executive director of racial equity.